listen.
My life.
In every verse, I got rhymes.
What's up, what's up? It's your boy AT and your boy AE coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life, where we break down the bars, relate to the rhymes, so we can shed light on our lives.
Just listen.
Feel the beat drop. In the battle for rounds.
Some people really are. Yeah. And as the sun sets, and the night falls, and them hoes call.
What's up, it's your boy AT coming to you live and direct with another episode of Bars, Rhymes, and Life. Nas featuring Kanye West, Still Dreaming. A really undergroundish track in the sense that it's not, considering it's a Nas and Kanye collab, you'd think it'd be blasted everywhere, right? But it's not something that is obvious, or it's not a track that comes to mind when you think of these two collaborating together. I think some of that is due to the fact that the production is a bit of a mellow, smooth groove. It's not a hit. It's not meant to be a hit, if that makes sense. But yeah, it's got some real vibes. And the reason why I picked this track is because it's just got some bars. I think Kanye sounds his best when he's flowing like this. And I just wanted to pick this track because I think it's got bars. Let's get in. She got in the car, he drove, he pulled his thing out. His girl caught feeling she mad, she threw the ring out. How she found out, she dreamt the whole thing out. You'll be going through problems, you gotta work the kinks out. When you go to sleep, what do you think about?
She got in the car, he drove, he pulled his thing out. His girl caught feeling she mad, she threw the ring out. How she found out, she dreamt the whole thing out. Y'all be going through problems, you gotta work the kinks out. When you go to sleep, what do you think about?
Dreams. Dreams are weird, isn't it? Have you ever had a dream that was a bad dream but didn't relate to anything at all? And then do you have good dreams that, again, didn't relate to your current mood at the time? Because that happens to me a lot. But I think there's no worse feeling. I think there's no worse feeling when you dream and you're dreaming bad thoughts. Be it about yourself, be it about other people, be it about relationships, be it about work. You start dreaming bad things and then it comes true in reality. That is the worst, worst feeling. And Kanye sort of explained that, how did she find out that her man be cheating on her? Well, she was dreaming about it. She was dreaming about it. You know, women's intuition. Women's intuition. And I think I'll go, I want to further my point, but I think my next lines will explain that. If y'all get a divorce, you gon' take everything except the kitchen sink out, make it so cold that you gotta pull your mink out.
If y'all get a divorce, you gon' take everything except the kitchen sink out, make it so cold that you gotta pull your mink out.
Divorce is a crazy one. Divorce is actually a crazy one. The more I think about it, the more I think it's actually a crazy one. And the more I think, 1 out of 2, 50% of relationships, or sorry, 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Genuinely scares the shit out of me, man. It really does. Like, it really makes it sound like it's genuinely a flip of a coin. But one thing that I wanted to elaborate was two things, actually. There's two things I want to elaborate. First one is it a luxury now to get divorced? And what I mean is, some people can't afford that shit. Like, you might hate the partner you're with. The partner that you're with could be abusing you domestically, abusing you physically, psychologically. A partner could be cheating on you. A partner could be doing all sorts of things, crazy things. And because you might have children and you might not have a lot of income collectively, both together, you can't afford to leave that person that you're married with. I've never quite thought of it like that. That it's no joke. I think getting divorced is a luxury for some. I don't think some people can afford to do it. That's number one. Number two, it's crazy, isn't it? It's genuinely crazy how, rather than maybe put the work in the relationship and go, because if you get to a point where you want to marry someone, surely you will have built enough stock to tell yourself, yes, this is the man or woman of my dreams, and I want to share everything with him or her, right? So when you decide to think that you're going to cheat on her or him, did you try and figure that shit out that was going wrong in the relationship first? Did you try to address it? Did you go to therapy? Did you go to counseling? Did you have an open and honest conversation with your husband or your wife? Or your husband to husband, or your wife to wife? Like, did you try? Did you genuinely try? In matters of abuse, it doesn't matter. Like, if someone abuses you, you got every right to get out of that situation. There's like that kind of shit for me. Just no, yeah, get divorced. Needs to happen, right? But was it worth it? Was it worth that pulling your dick out in the car, getting a little bit of ting ting, like a little bit of relief or pleasure or something? Like, what is it about someone's ego that needs to go down that route instead of trying to go through the correct route? And then if the correct route doesn't work out, then go to the girl that you want to just get on with. It does make me really think. And then you start thinking about the dynamics of, if the male is the main breadwinner and he asks for a prenup because he's like, if we get divorced, she's going to get half of everything, and all of that stuff just isn't right, right? It's not ideally, in an idealistic way, it's not really fair. But then she has every right to say, why do you want me to sign a prenup for? Do you not trust me? Do you not love me? Vice versa. If she is the main breadwinner and she asks you to sign a prenup, why wouldn't you? But at the same time, surely, why wouldn't you ask the question, like, don't you trust me? Do you know? Like, asking someone to sign a prenup almost makes me feel like you believe that there is a high potential that the relationship might end anyway. So why get married then? Why get married? Just stay as boyfriend and girlfriend. And then if you stay, like, until you feel the feeling that you don't care if she took half or not, if he took half or not, then get married. Why go through these things? I don't know. Is it a luxury? I'm starting to think that it is. Facts. How you a man waiting for the next man to get rich? Your plan is to stick out your hand real quick. So if he feed your family and he serve you shit, then he need the head that you get and deserve your bitch.
How you a man waiting for the next man to get rich? Your plan is to stick out your hand real quick. So if he feed your family and he serve you shit, then he need the head you get and he deserve your bitch.
Bars here from Nas. Nothing, let me tell you now, nothing in life is free. When someone gives you something, when someone takes that position of giving you stuff, and it's an interesting concept when you think about it from a celebrity point of view. A lot of celebrities make so much money, athletes too, make so much money that they end up creating a bit of an ecosystem around them. And that ecosystem can be, some be good, some be bad. Some of those guys will be security, so that's technically good because they're offering you some protection. Some of those guys might be just lifelong friends. But if you just stay a lifelong friend and you're just like, oh, my best mate's really rich, bought me a house, bought me a this, bought me a that, and you're just living off that one particular source of income, or when shit is the fan, don't think that person isn't going to pull up on you. And don't think that that person isn't going to feel some self sense of entitlement over your stuff. And so I just think it's really good knowledge here from Nas. And it's quite raw. It's quite raw the way he's saying, like, if I feed your family, then technically your wife is mine. Technically your wife is mine if I wanna. It's a raw way of putting it, but it's really true. Like, your plan is to stick your hand out real quick. You know there's people around you. You know there's people that are just like, oh, are you guys going to lunch? I'll come to lunch. But they kind of always come because they kind of get a vibe that you'll be paying. They'll take money off you, but they'll never offer themselves. But they somehow think that's because it's easy, right? So it's easy and it's fun, but it's getting something for nothing. Nothing in life is worth getting if it takes nothing to get it. And so he's almost delivering a lot of knowledge here where it says it's really important that you do level up in life. So what, you got LeBron's in a great example about it. Like, his friend Mav and Rich Paul, they studied, they worked hard, and they made themselves, I don't like using the word useful, but I'll use the word useful. I can't think of another one. They made themselves useful, not only for LeBron, but for themselves. And I know Rich Paul has his own agency and has like some of the best athletes in the world. And obviously he's got LeBron signed to him. And Mav is an incredible CEO for the company that they run together. I can't remember which one it's called, but they developed themselves. They put the work in. They developed themselves to become an asset, not a liability. If you have a rich friend, I don't have any rich friends, but if you have a rich friend and that person showers you with gifts or chucks you cash or whatever you want to call it, gives you girls, gives you money, cars, and all that kind of stuff, if you ain't developing yourself, you've got a big, big problem. You got a pretty big, big problem, because nothing is worth getting if it takes nothing to get it. Bars. Nobody owe you, can't do nothing for self. Want N-words to show you how to come up with green? I scheme since I'm 14. What the fuck was your dream?
Nobody owe you, can't do nothing for self. Want niggas to show you how to come up with green? I scheme since I'm 14. What the fuck was your dream?
So true. So true. So many people look at their circumstances and just sort of blame everything else but themselves. People look at their circumstances and blame everything else but themselves. And if you are like that, if you think that in a situation you did nothing wrong, then clearly you have a problem. And you're looking for other people for ideas, but you're not trying to generate your own ideas. Ideas can be really simple, you know. Ideas can be just like, I want to get a job that maybe I don't like, but at least I need to get that job to not like it first. And if I know I don't like it, then maybe I'll try to get another job. But just sitting there and waiting ain't the one. It's not the one. And look, Nas been scheming since the age of 14. What the fuck was your dream? Abby, what was your dream at 14? I don't even know what my dream was at 14. But what I do know is that I still dream today. I still dream that Bars, Rhymes and Life is going to be some amazing, mad, crazy, successful podcast. I still dream about it. Whether it happens or not, it don't matter, because I'm still putting the work in, right? Nothing is worth attaining if it takes nothing to get it. I didn't just do this shit for a year or so and then be like, oh, it's difficult. Oh, I can't manufacture time. Oh, I can't. It's like, it's difficult. I can't manufacture time sometimes. Sometimes I wake up really early to get this done. Sometimes I wake up really late. But the point being is that I care about it. I have a dream about it. And so I'm still following my dreams. And I'm not going to be as harsh as Nas. But I want to ask you, what was your dream? What was your dream? What is your dream? What, just because you're really young, you don't feel like you have the experience to dream a dream into reality? No. Just because you're really old, that you ain't got a chance to dream? No. Mr. Kentucky Fried Chicken Geezer became a millionaire or a successful billionaire, whatever you want to call it, the Colonel. He got rich at 50. He never stopped dreaming. So what's your dream? You don't have to directly tell me, because I'm not be able to listen to it. But tell me what your dream is. Or tell yourself what your dream is. How high was I? You're the 1,000th guy that came around thinking that we can see eye to eye. We on a different echelon.
How high was I? You the thousandth guy that came around thinking we could see eye to eye. We on a different echelon.
Ooh, bars. Absolute bars here from Nas. And it's so true. It's so true. I move in a lot of different circles now. I move in a number of different circles. And it's crazy to see how delusional some people are. There's some real delusion out there. Real, real, real delusion. And some people are, and for the most part, most people are really receptive to me, and they get me and I get them, and we're able to speak on the same level. But it's just these odd characters where you go, who on earth do you think you are talking in that way? You have nothing to back what you say in the slightest. And I don't think there's anything wrong with sometimes telling yourself that you are on a different echelon to other people. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Provided that your intention isn't a sense of arrogance and is not coming from a place of being dismissive to someone. I do my best to not be dismissive. There's times when I am, especially when I'm coaching, I find it very frustrating at times. But it's important to know your worth. And I think this is what Nas is trying to say, because this was a response to Lakey the Kid, because Lakey the Kid was apparently quite a decent rapper, but he never blew up. So he just started dissing Nas. And this is Nas saying, you're the thousandth guy that's come at me, who's complained that you should be rich and famous because of whatever, but yet I think what I'll do is I'll just diss Nas, and that will give me some legs or some credence. And Nas is like, I see you a dime a dozen. And I say this to a lot of the kids that I coach. A lot of these kids, especially the talented ones, they think they're amazing. They think they're almost like top dogs. But if they were top dogs, and I do bring them down a peg or two sometimes, like if you were a top dog, you'd be at a professional club. You wouldn't be getting coached by me. You'd be at a professional club. You would not be getting coached by me. You're the thousandth guy. I've seen ballers come and go. Ballers come and go. But people of real character, people that really want it, the true ballers, they're usually on a different echelon. Facts. One of her mans that she lent her drop to won't come back with it, so she want him clapped in it. Says it's important that it looks like an accident. She was snorting and her eyes had bags in it. She was recording, had a wire asking shit. 4 days before I came, she got bagged with bricks. Crossed the line from her world of newscasting to a world of entrapment. A good girl gone backwards.
One of her men's that she lent a drop to won't come back with it, so she want him clapped in it. Says it's important that it looks like an accident. She was snorting and her eyes had bags in it. She was recording, had a wire axing shit. 4 days before I came by, she got bagged with bricks. Crossed the line from her world of newscasting to a world of entrapment. A good girl going backwards.
A really, really interesting story here. So I don't know how true this is, but Narcissus was talking about a woman that he knew, that he kind of grew up on the click with, that she did really well for herself and got into ESPN and started making moves for herself. She started making moves for herself and she was doing really well. And for whatever reason, some person that she lent her car to didn't come back. And instead of just basically staying in her lane, just maybe accepting a loss, she tried to get all clever. And she maybe went to some dudes that maybe knew the dudes that's, you know, robbed her car and said, look, I want this guy dealt with. I want this guy to be punished. And obviously she's snorting cocaine, so she's erratic as fuck. And she's kind of go left, right and center, and she's minds all over the place. But she got done. She got done. And then before you know it, her car potentially got given back to her, or she was in a car and she got bagged with bricks. Now she got entrapment. A good girl gone backwards. And I think the moral of this story, and in some ways this tune, is stay in your lane. If you're going to move into another lane, make sure you know that world and you play all your moves strategically. You can't make moves when you're on cocaine. You can't make moves when you're intoxicated. And you can't do things that you have no knowledge of. She chose a path of vengeance without actually understanding what that path entailed. Now, listen, no way am I telling anyone, yeah, if you want to get someone clapped, do it right. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of knowledge in this tune. And the story is quite true of a lot of things, which is stay in your lane and sometimes just accept your losses. Just accept your losses. You can't have it all. You can't have it all, and nothing is worth getting if it takes nothing to get it. My two finishing bars of this track. Nothing but love to Nas and all his fans. Nothing but love to Ye and all of his fans. Nothing but love to all the BRL listeners out there. One. Still dream.
Dreams, some dreams come true. Dream. What, what, 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams, they dream, still, some dreams come true. Dreaming. Yeah.